word of prayer, orienting ourselves to what we're here for. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to assemble ourselves this morning to worship you. To remember, Heavenly Father, how you found us, how you saved us, and how, Heavenly Father, our eternal place is all insecure. In your love, in your plan, it's secure there. And now, Heavenly Father, we pray that we will continue to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and to live who we are and what we are in Christ. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. got several things to talk with you about this morning. all of it. I don't know, as I said, what God is doing. Numbers are not sticking up here, and that's a fact. Look how few are here this morning. But whatever God was doing, he gave us move out of the area. We've got to be out of here in 2 months now, the end of September. Maybe a couple of things to be in prayer about. One, Gary and I are going down to talk to Dallas Seminary tomorrow morning, the foundation part, which is the part of Dallas Seminary that the department that takes care of the property and money and things that are given to the seminary, and they're the ones that we'll deal with in regard to this property. So please be in prayer for wisdom and guidance of what God has in store in that respect. I try to keep you abreast just so that you will know what's going on. We have the task force has found different properties at different places. Told you some time ago we looked at some in Carrollton, and it just didn't work out, an office building there. We looked at in Dallas, right out of Spring Valley, another building, and that certainly didn't work out. We had up to $8 million, and so that wasn't going to work. Well, another one has come to our attention, and we looked at one daycare center in Plano, and that didn't work out. It's already sold, and now we're looking at another daycare center that's up for sale. And the daycare center, first of all, before I show you the daycare center, well, let me look at it here since I got it. It's this is kind of the way it's laid out, and I didn't realize the overhead was not going to was too large for this, but you're in here. You ladies will like one thing about it is that it has a carport over so that when it rains, your husbands or boyfriends or whoever you can get to let you off and then go get your car when it's raining and come back and pick you up. So that that part's good. You walk in. And little office over here, little closet. Great kitchen right here. And off of the kitchen is a super room right here that would be great for our communion lunch that we have and other fellowships. I think it would encourage us to do other types of fellowships and things. And it is larger. This space is larger than what we use right here. And over here, by the way, it has 6 restrooms. And we'll probably have to get some larger stools in some of them and some larger sinks because they're designed for the little children, but it's all there intact. So there are 6 of those. There's one right here, and then there's, let's see, 1 here, 2 here, 2 here. It's 2, 4, 5, 6. And so it has plenty of restrooms that we can work with and fix up. Has a lot of, obviously being a daycare center, all of these are exits to outside, not necessarily daily functional, but there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 entrances and exits. And as you can see, it has 6 main rooms. This is not drawn to scale because the ideal room, while it looks like it would be this one, is just at first looking, if it worked out we were here, would be this room, which is larger than the space back there at about, it would take about from the half of this to that wall, and then from right here, where I'm standing, to about a little bit further than the back rope. So it would be as larger. It doesn't look as large because here the ceilings go all the way up to the sky. But in here they will not do that. Anyway, they said a lot of rooms here for classrooms, and if we wanted to put the tape department there, to be right across from here, there's a wall right here with a glass, so that this is actually divided. It doesn't have to be, but it is right now, divided into two rooms. And then these are other rooms that can be used for other things. A lot of closet space, a lot of restrooms. On this side, not a whole lot of space over here, but there's a nice little playground with some things built in for the children. I can't believe they'll take them out. They look like they're going to stay there longer than the building, the way they built the playground area. Playground area here. Now, what is nice is that in the front of the building, there's only the room for about how many parking spaces? About 10 parking spaces, but there's a whole area right over on this area that goes with it. The total area is about right at a half acre. So you've got this here and then a lot of area over here that's more than ample parking for what we would need. So there's a lot of parking here and, as I said, some in the front here. Some of the facts about the place. First of all, its location. Its location is, if you were to travel, just remember, no location is going to please everybody. I can just tell you that right now. If we were somewhere else coming here, it would not please some people. It's because we've been here since 75. We're kind of accustomed to it and all of the traveling to get here. But let's just make this north, traveling north. This is 75. It doesn't go straight like that, but we'll just for right now. That's 75 or central. And we get up here. It's in Allen. It's in Allen. And there is the Legacy exit. And they couldn't think of a name for the next exit, so they just named this exit Frontage. I mean, boy, you got to be hard up for some creativity, imagination. You couldn't think of a name, but anyway, they named it the Frontage exit. And that's the name of it. And you come up just a little ways, and I mean, almost immediately, you take a right, go across some railroad tracks, and then right here, right after the track, it's less than a mile. It's less than a mile off of 75. And so, and then right here, those of you that are familiar with the area, this is a street. While they couldn't think of a name other than Frontage for that, this main road has lots of names. Some people know it by Greenville, highway, the Greenville Highway. People from Plano know it as Avenue K. And people in Allen, they know it as, what did we say it was? 5. Yeah, it's Highway 5. So, you can say it's off of the corner of Ridgemont. This is Ridgemont, right here. R-I-D-G-E-M-O-N-T. Ridgemont and Highway 5, Ridgemont and Avenue K, Ridgemont and Greenville, and they'll think they're moving around, and they don't know, they're trying to hide from them. But, yeah, how could you do that? So, this is how you get there, and it's right here on the corner. There's a space in here, some land right in here, but we're in this daycare center that is located right there. Give you some of the specifics on it. It's located 505 East Ridgemont. They were asking $395,000. They've come down to $295,000, which is workable for us. The building was built in 1975. It has 5,198 square feet. Does anybody know what we have here, Ms. Sterling? I've been here for 75 and I don't know. Okay. It's on a half acre. And any other question? Okay. Don't get excited about it. it has a lot of wonderful possibilities. As I said, it's in a community. There's a large community right across the street from it. And as you go this way, now this way it's all business here, but this way it's, if you have an animal and you need to drop it off, there's an animal clinic right there, right beside it. So you can drop your animal off while you're in church. But that's where it's located. It has lots of possibilities. it has room for growth, parking, It's a pleasant environment, and when, I think if we, when we win and if it's a sixth up correctly, and so a lot of nice things about it. A lot of questions. We're going to have to find out about the asbestos, see if there's any of that in the building. If there is, we're going to forget it. We've been told that to get that out is just almost gut buildings like this to get it out. So someone might say, well, there wouldn't be any in there since it's a daycare, but built in 1975, they don't come in. Some municipals don't come in unless you want to do something like we're going to be doing, changing its whole function. Then they say, now you got to go in and get all that out. So we'd have to make one of the restrooms wheelchair accessible. And so there are little things like that. Those are cosmetic type of things. And don't get nervous. Don't get excited. It's just where we are, what we're looking at. And we'll go through the motions and taking a look. And then we'll have a congregational meeting and decide. In fact, I think what I'll do, so that it'll be official in our constitution, say that 2 weeks from today we'll have a congregational meeting in case we have to move on it. And then if something happens that we don't, we'll just cancel the congregational meeting. We're flexible. We don't have 5,000 people here. We can be flexible. And at least that way it'll be announced. And so we'll have a congregational meeting after service 2 Sundays from now, if that is necessary. Got any questions? As I said, keep looking. Keep praying. I have no idea what God is doing and where God wants us to be. And this just has a lot of wonderful possibilities related to it. And as far as the rooms and things we could use and need and function with, so that's in that respect. First prayer. Anybody have anything we need to be in prayer for? Okay. Yes. I'm sorry.
My cousin has an infant son. His name is Tennessee.
Tennessee. All right. I like that.
Anyway, he's got some very critical health problems.
How? Be in prayer for Tennessee, whatever God is doing. So let's be in prayer, because in this case, we know that God is working with so many people around Tennessee, and not just Tennessee. So let's be in prayer for him and whatever God is doing in regard to the parents and anyone and everyone involved, right down to the doctor, right down to you and I being in prayer. I think they are. Please be in prayer about what God would have us to do. 60 days from now, we do have to, as it stands right now, be out of this building. Gary and I are going to talk tomorrow, find out, you know, how affirmative they are on that and what they're looking at. So be in prayer for Gary and I tomorrow morning, and talking to Gary Reeves, the president of the foundation. And just whatever God would be doing there, be in prayer. If God wants us in this building that I just described, or some other building, or just to wait a while and put the money away and wait for another thing coming up, just whatever. So please be in prayer for our assembly place. Make that part of your prayer. Be in prayer for one another. Be in prayer for Southwood Bible Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. They're in need of our prayers. That's Dan Hill Church. Please be in prayer for them, everyone in that assembly. Dan, Brian, the board, everyone, please be in prayer for them. Always be in prayer for John and Judy Hens and Tucson Bible Church. Got an interesting call yesterday. A couple of weeks ago, Gary Horton, a lot of you may know, some of you may know Gary. Hadn't heard from Gary in a long time, and he called and said that someone in Tulsa had told him he had to listen to the tapes on stress, anxiety, and depression. And so we shot him the tapes, and he called me yesterday. And I appreciated the accolades. I appreciated what he said, and I believe it in my soul as to what God has revealed to me in that study. But he just went on and on of how... He just answers so many things, and Gary deals with a lot of people hurting, especially young people. That's what his ministry is. And in fact, when he called, he was on his way to visit a man. Sir, is this on tape? Okay. He was on his way to visit a man who father had killed his mother and then took his own life. And this man was contemplating ending his own life. And Gary said he was just so thankful for the tape on stress, anxiety, and depression. And we talked about it. And so be in prayer for this gentleman and this type of thing. Gary said he was going to be giving him out to more, that just exactly what he needed for his ministry and what he does. So that was a very encouraging conversation. We talked for a little while yesterday, and it was very encouraging to hear that and to talk with him about things that we're doing in that study, the four classes that we just studied on the actual how, the mechanics of it. So he wants those. And so just be in prayer in regard to that study, why Christians do not need to experience stress and depression and how not to. So just bear that in prayer. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposeth in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity. God loveth a gracious giver. Giving has always been part of the relationship with Christ from the garden all the way through, and will continue to be. It's one of the great indications of faith to take that which is related to the material world and say, no, I'm going to invest that in the spiritual. And so with these principles in mind, let us prepare ourselves in prayer. You have given to us, Heavenly Father, the wonderful opportunity of the ministry of reconciliation. It is our privilege, Heavenly Father, to tell others of how they are already reconciled to God through the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross and the subsequent resurrection. They will receive it simply by faith. Father, we're just so thankful, so amazed at the size of our assembly and how you've seen fit to use it and are still using it in tapes, speaking, publication, prayer, and the various outreaches of this small assembly. Father, we pray that you will continue to do so, that you will take the offerings that we are about to give and just continue to guide us in what you would have us to do, what you would have us to have printed, what you would have us to give out to others. Father, pray that things that we're seeing and stress, anxiety, and depression, being who you are in Christ, we pray, Father, that these tapes will not get to those who are healthy, but to those who hurt. People like the man in Tennessee. People like some mothers in Ohio that I'm aware of. That these tapes will find their way into souls that are distressed, souls that are depressed about things that happened late, early in their life, things that are going on now, and that your Spirit will use these to bring comfort and peace in their soul. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. So, I read it. The little, not little, but the church that I grew up in, William Baptist Church, and they kind of closing down. They've been offered $2 million for the property, so it's a nice piece of property, but they just not enough people to finance it and pay all the utilities and the maintenance of the property and a pastor. And so there looks like they're going to close it down and tear it down, and that hurts. I know progress comes and it has to happen, but, you know, that's, as they say, that's, there's an old song, Wes, don't let them tear that one church down. And, so they're tearing down, it looks like they're going to tear down the Baptist church, and a lot of wonderful memories growing up in the Baptist church there, and some not so fun, some a lot of fun for me, not so fun for some of my teachers, and but just a wonderful time in the church. I forget, I just got my driver's license and was learning to drive, and the church has a lot of steps to go up, and you know, the main sanctuary, the auditorium, yet on top of these two sets of large steps going up. And so I got my car, drove it across the street from the church, got out, went around, and got in the young lady in the car and drove off. Thought I'd done the right thing. Before I got in more trouble, my grandfather was standing up on the top of those steps, and boy, did I get braced. You drive around, bring the car back on her side of the street where she doesn't have to go on the street, and you let her in right there, and boy, I learned that lesson very well. And I said, well, I hadn't even gone on the date yet, and I'm already in trouble. Glad he didn't see everything. I'd have been in real trouble. Watched everything. But it's some wonderful memories. Accepted Christ when I was a young lad, and my mother, whom I loved dearly, but it was her that gave me the gospel under a frightening situation. I woke up with a bad dream and told her I didn't want to go to hell, didn't want to burn. I was just a little guy. I mean, about 6, 7 years old. I'm already so bad, I know I'm going to hell. And so it was in the middle of the night. And she gave me the gospel and said, you never will if you just believe in Jesus Christ. And my mom is not a spiritual or that type of thing. She'd go to church, but that wasn't the type of the main momentum. But I accepted Christ, and I wanted to, it was a Baptist church, I wanted to be baptized. And mom just wasn't sure about everything, so she had me go talk with the preacher, Brother Harold. And we sat down, and he said, yeah, he understands it. And so, got some good memories in the church. Okay, this is Communion Sunday, and we are in the midst of our series in dealing with the communion, and so that we will be oriented to where we are. Let's open the Bible, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's take a look and then note some things this morning that are very important to the communion study and very important in our study of stress, anxiety, and depression as far as one's life is concerned. So let's begin with a word of prayer. We are to do this ritual. I discovered from many of my pastor friends that I guess, and I'm not saying this as though it's good or bad, I'm just not comparing it in that way, but no one uses the whole Sunday morning service for the communion. They just, you know, have it at the end, and I've done that in the past. But I like what we're doing. I like what we're studying and seeing. Just every aspect of communion that there is to see, that we can see, and will allow the Spirit to show us in the Bible in dealing with the communion service. So let's begin with a word of prayer. That what we're about to do, this ritual, will have some impact and meaning as we do participate in it. Let's pray. What an awesome God you are, Heavenly Father, in the manner of your creation, the creation of the stars and the constellations that we studied a few weeks ago. How your message is there. The eye will but see it. The creation, Heavenly Father, of the earth and our universe and the whole function of gravity. And we're just amazed, Heavenly Father, at the wonders of your creation. And then, Heavenly Father, we come to the creation of our earth and then to our own creation, the design creation of humanity. And you put in, Heavenly Father, various compartments, various aspects of our brain, of our soul, and you made memory a very important aspect of the human mind. Very important in our relationship with you, in our relationships with each other and in life. It can be used, Heavenly Father, as a horrible, horrible part of our being, or it can be used as a wonderful, wonderful, liberating aspect of our being. Pray, Father, as we look at the memory center and the fragrance of memories and what the Scriptures have to say about memory, that the Spirit will cause these things to come alive and have an impact on our daily life, in our marriage, in our homes, in our church, our work, our social life, every part of our being. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Verse 23, for I received from the Lord, 1 Corinthians 11, for I received, Paul speaking, for I received from the Lord, and that's when, right after his salvation, shortly after his salvation, he went out into the desert, met the Lord, and was taught by the Lord. I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, the cup of the new covenant, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So where we are in our series of study is take a little look this morning at remembering. This is so important in our study of stress, anxiety, and depression, as I'll see. We'll go through that this morning a little bit. And what we remember and what we do not remember. The memory center is so important. Sometimes we do not realize how important our memory is as far as life is concerned. Now, 2 months ago when we did this, we saw that everything we do in the present is based on the past. And this is something difficult to comprehend. I don't want you to think too long about it. But someplace that we've already been experientially learned, something implanted in the memory center affects where we are right now and what we do right now. We also saw that you can act only as far as you can think. And this is limited by where you have been. In other words, the memories, either education, learning, is there, and you can only act as far as one can think. And we have two areas, as Christians, we have two areas that we can draw from in our memory. We can draw from our first birth. We can draw from our flesh nature. Or we can draw from our second birth, who we are in Christ. And this is a most distinctive distinction between the thoughts that a Christian ought to have and not have as far as his soul is concerned. And we'll deal with some of this as we go along. But the whole purpose of this communion this morning is to draw from our memory things related to our second birth, who we are in Christ. And so, you can't go or think beyond your history. So this is what Christ is doing as far as the communion is concerned, taking us back to this beginning. Memory is a container, and it holds the past that is going to guide in the present, this very day, and how we function. If, for example, you think, I am that old person, I am that horrible person, remember we studied 5 things about our flesh nature, it is continually being corrupted, it is deceitful above all else, it is incurably wounded or incurably sick, it is full of evil and insane. So if you draw from all the memories from when we were first born all through your life, from that nature, then that's going to affect how you live your life, your view of yourself, your view of God, and it's going to result in a great deal of stress and depression as far as life is concerned. All you can draw from your memory of who you are in Christ. Now, communion is designed to remind us of who we are in Christ. And what I want to do this morning with you before we partake of the communion is let's talk about some things in regard to the memory center, and then we'll move on. Remembering is at the very foundation of what you're about to do. People, there is nothing in the cup, there's nothing in this bread that is going to expiate or communicate to you some worth or merit. There is nothing in that bread, nothing in that cup that is going to do that. We are going to study, once we have completed the New Testament study, of the verses that deal with communion, and we're about through when we finish this one, then I want to go through the history of communion. And there we will study things such as transubstantiation, which the Roman Catholics teach, that juice is the blood of Jesus Christ and that bread is or becomes the body of Christ when it's in your mouth. That's not true. The value of what you're about to do is not in the taking. Just putting it in simple, you don't get a gold star You don't get brownie points because you took communion this morning. Just because you took it. You don't get it. Just because I took communion that day. The value is going to be what goes on in your soul. What this will cause you to remember. It's the foundation of the whole communion service, the whole communion idea. It is so important in almost every relationship we have. And I'll talk about what we remember as we go through the study. So let me give you some points so that you can follow through a thought process with me. And we can move through this morning and move on next when we have our communion in September, which may be our last communion. We may end the last service here, whenever that may be, if it is at the end of September, with a communion service. I don't know. I've always loved communion since I was a young lad. I've in the church that they're thinking about tearing down now. I've always liked it, and what's going on with communion. So we might end that, have a communion service here in just memory of the wonderful things that's here. But let's go through a couple of points and points here, and so that we can follow through on this. Remembering is not only a very important part of the communion service, people. It's an important function of our spiritual life. It's important to our life. It's important to marriages. It's important to our family. It's important to relationships, especially in difficult times. Especially in difficult times. Unfortunately, many people remember all the bad. And that's a shame. But that's indicative of their soul and of their mind. They dwell on the bad, and they never forget. They never forget, and they never forgive. And their memory center is a bank of just all the bad things that have happened. And the scripture is very clear on forgiving and forgetting. And we'll talk about that. In fact, I want to deal with two distinct commands. Like Christians, I believe everything the Bible says. No contradictions in the Bible. Okay, how about this? Forgetting those things which are in the past, remembering those things which are in the past. How can I do both of those? The Bible tells us to forget, and the Bible tells us to remember. So, boy, that's a contradiction, isn't it? And that's not, I believe everything the Bible says. The Bible says forget the past, forget everything. The Bible says remember, well, I'm going to remember everything. No, you have to go to context, find out what is going on. We are to forget. We are to forget the past. We're to forget sins, our sins. Sins of others. We're to forget our failures, the failures of others. They've been taken care of at the cross. We are to remember what Jesus Christ has done for us. So remembering becomes so vital as far as the spiritual life is concerned. Point two, there are two very important aspects of the Greek word used here. In fact, all of the Greek words in the domain meaning the whole area, a lot of words that deal with remembering, cause to remember, to recall, these kinds of things, to exercise our memory, to recollect on things, to be mindful of, a lot of different Greek words that deal with this whole concept, and there are two things. One is what you and I think of in regard to remembering, to recall, to remember something. To remember an event. To remember something that we've learned. To remember something and to bring it to our forefront of our mind. But it doesn't stop simply with remembering. This word means to remember where it has an impact in your life. So he says, do this in remembrance of me. Okay, I remember. No impact. There are things that you and I can remember that have no impact in our life. There are things that you and I can remember and have a great deal of impact. In fact, it affects our action. It affects things that we do. Remember why we married. People, there's no way with the flesh nature combined with the spiritual nature, but our flesh nature and the time that you and I live in, And we're not going to go in our marriage life without a lot of difficult times and things that are going to keep coming up in it. This is true in marriage. It's true in family, meaning parent and children, and other relationships in the family, friendships, the church, all these kinds of things. But you remember, why did we marry? Now, I know some people say, yeah, I've often wondered, why did I marry that bum? Okay, but we remember why. Why did we marry? What was the love? Where were we in the relationship with the Lord and God calling us and pulling us together and remembering, valuing this marriage, valuing what God is doing? I'm so sorry because there's so many people spend their life so unhappy in various relationships and positions and circumstances of life, and never really are able to move on and to put those things into perspective of God's plan. But this remembering that you and I are going to do with the communion is going to be a memory that is going to call to action living by faith, continuing to live by faith. A grain of mustard seed, just a small little grain of mustard seed, which was the smallest measurement that they had, that the common person understood. They didn't understand the atom. And I'm sure that if that were a common knowledge, it would have been the atomic size of faith. And it was just as small as an atom, seeable even by the eye. And look what God did with that faith. He saved us eternally. He transformed us into a new spiritual being. And yet so many Christians will live now their life in depression and distress and anxiety based upon things that happened in their childhood. They were abused. They were raped. Or even later in life, and things that happened in their life. And do we not believe that if God can take with a grain of mustard seed the atomic size of faith and save us eternally, transform us into a new spiritual being, create us into a new spiritual being, that God can't take the circumstances of our life if we will just walk by faith and trust Him, and not transform us into who we are in Christ? It's a matter, a simple matter of trusting Him and believing Him. And that's what the communion is for, however often a church does it. There's nowhere in the Bible does it say do this once a year, once a month, once a week, once a day. Just do it whenever you do it. Our custom is to do it once a month to bring in the memory for the new month. Point three. Now, the test may be simply to remember or to be caused to remember. But what we want to deal with is that a lot of the tests will not deal with no mention in the text of what is going to cause that memory, be it in our own mind or some event. A lot of passages in the Scripture, there's no mentioning of what is going to cause that. But here we do have it. We do have the event. Do this. Take this cup, take this bread in remembrance of me. We have something that will cause us to remember. Now, let's talk about that. What are we going to remember when we take the cup, when we take the bread? Have you ever been in a situation... I know you have, don't raise your hand. And I know we all can sit here and tell our stories. You've been in a situation where you remember an event this way. Your husband, your wife, your ex-husband, your ex-wife, your children, your parents, another employee, a friend, they remember it an entirely different way. And neither of you are lying. Neither of you are fabricating your memory. This is the way I remember it. And they are as emphatic. This is the way I remember it. And they're not lying and you're not lying. You haven't fabricated this thing. That's the way you remember it. And you both swear that that's exactly the way it happened. Let you get real old and you start, I think that's the way it happened. But you swear, this is what happened. Let me tell you why then, what, and go through it. Now, why is that? No, it's not because they're a liar. That's the way they remember it. And it's not because you're lying. That's the way you remember it. Because that is the way you interpreted it. It's the way you interpreted the event. that two people or more, that two people go through some circumstance in life, and the way you interpret it is the way you're going to remember it. And that's why you'll get at least two different stories on what happened. That's why I'm trying to teach in the stress, anxiety, and depression. Little girl is raped. Her interpretation of that is, I deserve it. So what happens in the Roman church, since they're making headlines, and in a lot of Bible churches that do this, they're trying to confess a sin, and they've not committed a sin. But they've been so browbeaten with confession that they know they've got to confess the sin, and they're hunting and blaming themselves, trying to come up with this sin that they've done. That's their interpretation. It's not what happened at all. Wasn't their fault? Wasn't something they did? But that's the way they interpret it. It's my fault. We interpret things, or it's all the other person's fault. I hate them. It's all their fault. All this, looking for that blame. Looking for that blame in my memory. Who can I blame in my memory? Charles Silk, in one of his peanut series, Lucy, talking to Linus, and Linus was saying that the world's in horrible condition, and she says, yes, it's in terrible condition, and we can blame the past generation for the horrible generation that we live in. And Linus says, well, does that help in blaming that generation? She says, no, it doesn't help, but it makes you feel better. In other words, makes you feel like it isn't me, somebody else. And so if I just blame somebody else, then I'm off the hook. But people, how we interpret things in our mind is how we're going to remember them. Salvation. If you remember that you were saved because you were baptized, if you were saved because you invited Jesus into your heart, you were saved because you made him Lord, you were saved because you confessed, you say because you repented, then that's what you're going to remember. That will be your remembrance of your salvation. That will be what you'll do when you take the communion. I did this. But if your memory center is this, I just believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I was no good. I had nothing to offer God. I was unworthy. And all I did was come to him and believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior, and by that act of faith, I was saved eternally. Then that's what you remember, that it was by faith, that it was through grace, by grace through faith, that it was his love. This is what he did for me when I was his enemy. Now watch what happens in the memory center. This is what he did for me when I was his enemy, when I was a sinner, and now I can trust him in my life. That's why we take this, to remind you, now you can trust him. Things aren't going the way you like. Things aren't going the way you like financially, in your marriage, health, social, dreams, hopes, all these things, not working. Can we trust him? Which memory center are we going to go back? Well, I don't deserve anything from God. Or are we going to go back and trust him to work out all things for his good? So our memory becomes so important on what we're going to remember. So we have the truth of the event. What really happened versus what we interpret happened, it's become so important. So what causes our remembrance is this communion. What causes you to reflect for a moment how you were initially saved, what God did, how God functions with you, the obedience that God is looking for. See, a lot of preachers are big on obedience, and you've got to obey God. Okay, what is the obedience God is looking for? Let me think this through. People, you don't need a degree in theology at Dallas Seminary or anywhere else. You don't need to have 50,000 doctrines, 500 doctrines, 500 doctrines. All you need to do is sit and think a moment. Now, wait a minute. What was the obedience I did for him to save me eternally? I just trusted him. Bingo. Remember that and let it guide you. Remember this thing in your relationship with God. And let it guide you in how and what God is looking for. Point four. I want to go through these quickly. Point four. The cause of remembering in the spiritual realm, the cause of remembering in the spiritual realm, spiritual advocate, the Holy Spirit. When Jesus Christ departed from earth, he sent to each one of us the Holy Spirit. So we have an event, and the event is the communion, and we're going to remember, go back to our salvation, so that we'll know how to live, but now we need an advocate in order to cause us to remember this spiritually, and that is the Holy Spirit. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. Please look in your Bible at John 14 a moment. Please look at in your Bibles at the Gospel of John, chapter 14, which I'm trying desperately to get to, but we've gotten by down a little bit in chapter 8. We made it through 6 and 7, so it's in pretty good haste. But 8 slowed us down, and for good reason. There are a lot of good things in 8, chapter 8. The Gospel of John 14. Look at verse 26. But the Helper. Same title used as Jesus Christ. That's why you trust Jesus Christ, you trust the Holy Spirit. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, Jesus Christ speaking, he, the Holy Spirit, will teach you all things. See, I'm not the teacher. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. And then look what it says. And he, the Holy Spirit, bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Remembering is a work of the Holy Spirit. This is one of the reasons that you have the Holy Spirit, to cause us to remember things correctly, accurately. When we're in the flesh, we have the work of the Holy Spirit reminding you of what? This is who you are. See, in the flesh, you get those who experience distress, anxiety, and depression. I'm that unworthy person. I'm no good. I'm a loser. I'm a slut. I'm horrible. This is what my parents told me. I've never been able to satisfy them. I've never been able to do this. And this is the way God functions. And that's the way you're going to think about yourself. Then the Holy Spirit convicts you. That's not who you are. You are who you are in Christ. Ah, I remember. And that's what causes us to get back into what we're seeing on Wednesday night as FM, or the faith mindset, instead of AM, the Adamic mindset. Okay, point five. So we've got the communion service, and we've got the Holy Spirit. Now, point five. The Holy Spirit uses the communion service. The Holy Spirit uses the Eucharist to bring to remembrance things that he would have us to remember. He uses other things, yes. He uses Scripture. We call it Bible doctrine. Yes, he does. He uses events. He uses a lot of things to bring to remembrance. Here he uses the communion service. Please look with me at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Those of you that are writing down, so you can just write it down before you look. 2 Peter 1, verses 12 and 13. Let's take a look at them. Second Peter 1. There's ever a Christian that could have used his life, his older age, to just live in distress and despair. It's Peter. He's always getting in trouble. But those things are behind. Let's take a look at what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Therefore, I shall always be ready. Now, this is as a pastor. I shall always be ready to remind you. And this is a job, my job as a pastor. This is a job of every pastor. To remind you of these things, even though you already know them. I like people go, oh man, I went to church and just, I didn't, no breakthrough, nothing new, nothing dramatic, nothing to excite me. Just stuff I already knew, and walked out bored to death. I can tell you where you weren't. That's an FM, the faith mindset. Okay, but you already know them and have been established in the truth, which is present with you. And I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder. Stir up your spiritual life. stir up walking in the Spirit. How? Some new breakthrough? People, I told you before, it's not going to be any breakthroughs. The message is simple, trust me. And wherever we go in Scripture, it's going to be that. Exciting ways of seeing it, yeah. Great ways of seeing it. Yeah, I think Samson's just a great way to see it. Revelation's a way to see it. But it's going to be the same message. And here he says, to stir you up by way of reminder. Bringing to memory stirs up our desire to walk by faith and to trust Him. Stirs up our alertness, our thinking, the mindset to faith. Look at verse 5. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence knowledge, and he goes on. But we stir up that faith, stir up walking by faith and believing. Point six. There are many things that will be used to bring us to memory, like a memorial. That's what one way we could look at the Lord's Supper. It's a memorial. It's designed to result in arousing or stirring up your memory, to arouse your memory, to arouse action of walking by faith, not trying to serve God or work for God or feel bad. There are many memorials in America, but they have meaning only insofar as you have some way of being attached to them. A lot of young Americans are very much attached to the wall, the Vietnam wall that's in Washington, D.C. I've not been to D.C. since they built that wall. But there's a wall, I'm sure you've seen pictures of it, with the names of everyone that served in Vietnam. So children, for their fathers or their grandfathers now, or somebody they knew, their husbands, and these kinds of wives, these kinds of things, and it means something. It stirs up something. Stirs up that these people die for in regard to America. You see various monuments, and it stirs up a great memory, the Jefferson Memorial. Phenomenal stirring up if you've ever been there. The Washington Memorial. Texas. Let's just talk about it so you see what I'm saying. To some people, and go to the Alamo, they can go to San Jacinto Monument, they can go to Goliad. And it just stirs, it excites. Do other people go there and nothing? That's nice. Oh, look at that. Oh, there's a tree. That's a pretty tree. The tree where San Jacinto surrendered. Doesn't mean anything to them. The monuments mean nothing. The memorials mean absolutely nothing. But to a Texan, somebody that can appreciate it, and they can just emote all over the place. Because it means something. And this communion service. This communion service. I know Christians that don't even take communion. They go years without taking communion. It doesn't mean anything to them. They don't need it. They don't want it. They don't have to. There are other Christians. This means something. They can stop. They can remember. They can allow the Spirit to do His work through them. So just as there are people that can stand in front of the Alamo and stand in front of the San Jacinto Monument or any of these places, and then even people from other countries can come and look at things of our, like the Jefferson Monument, and while they may have appreciation of other countries' emblems and memorials, it doesn't stir inside of them. I just can't believe anyone can walk through and start reading in the Jefferson Monument without your psychic, your emotion, your mindset, start being emoted and alert to things that are important. But we don't do that much anymore. We don't cause people to be alerted anymore. And yet those are the valuable and very important things. And what they do, unfortunately, is take these little children. Need to be taken is when you're about 13, 14. I know when things don't matter at all, that's when they should start mattering. What this country is about, what this state is about, so that you can appreciate it, what this memorial is about, so that the Holy Spirit can use it to start working and teaching and exciting your soul to trust Him. The things that are going on in your life, what God is going to do. I know some of you, and it's not because you don't care, just okay, wherever we meet. This is so big to me. I don't know where we're going to meet. I don't know what God's going to do. But going to a communion, okay, He's got it. I trusted Him way back here before I even knew what it really, what it was, anything was about. Why not continue to trust Him? It's a wonderful place just to stop along the road. To stop along all the things that are going on in your marriage. All the things that are going on financially. All the things going on in business. All the things going on in any area of your life. And just pause and remember, ah, okay, He's got it. I trust Him. And the way He's taken off. The fear is removed. The uncertainty is gone. And we just get back to trusting Him. That's what this is about. So He brings us to remember. He causes us to understand a lot of things. Look at 2 Timothy a moment, please. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. Consider. Consider is the work of your mind. Consider is the working of your mind. You have to think. Consider what I say. For the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, ascending according to my gospel. Understanding in verse 7. Verse 8 gives us the key. Remembering who and what Christ is, who we are in Him, His person and work. That's the heart of the gospel. Verse 9. For which gospel I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment, as a criminal. But the word of God is not imprisoned. For this reason I endure all things, for the sake of those who are chosen, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus and with its eternal glory. Deals with understanding of the gospel, being caused to remember and function. Let's go to major point 7. Remembering is a vital part. Remembering is a vital part in recovering from sins, from the power of sin. It's a vital part. Memory. Memory. You ever told somebody in sin, the first thing what I want you to do to recover from sin is to remember? No. But people who have some works want you to confess. I want you to repent. I want you to feel sorry. I want you to do penance. And yet in Scripture, several times, by the way, is the word remember. Look with me at Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Now this is Jesus Christ speaking. This is the head of the church. He's not going to talk about confessing. Confessing serves a very important purpose in 1 John 1:8 where you have forgotten or you're in denial. You're in denial. But when you really want to start recovering from sin, the actual act of recovering, after you have acknowledged, okay, I am in sin, that doesn't restore you. That just helps you to know where you are. Now what am I going to be restored? Trust Him. Where did you learn? That's what communion does for you. How was I saved from the penalty of sin? Faith. How am I going to be saved from the power of sin? Faith. Boom. That's why you're giving the communion. Remember. Remember how you were restored and how you will be restored all through your life. Look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. To the angel of the church of Ephesus, we'll be studying this briefly here and shortly. Right. The one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, that's Jesus Christ, and the one who is among the seven golden lampstands says this. I know your deeds and your toil and your perseverance, and you cannot endure evil men, and you put the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. Boy, you are good. Can't get any better than all of this. All your deeds and your toils and your perseverance. Oh, and you can't even stand an evil person. Verse 3. and you have perseverance, and have endured for my name's sake, and have not grown weary. Boy, let's just take them right on up. No, not at all. I have this against you. You've left your first love. You've gone to the law. You've gone to work. You're just doing the law. You're just doing work. You've left your first love. That's Jesus Christ. Remember, since that's your problem, since that's your problem that you've left your first love, what's the beginning of the solution? Remember. Remember, that's the first thing you got to do. See, if you're in denial of sin, what's the first thing you got to do? Confess. Doesn't restore you. It's the first thing you got to do. And in James, if you're blaming God that you sin, what's the first thing you got to do? Stop blaming God. Doesn't restore you. There's a lot of these in Scripture. So, verse 5, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent, and do the deeds that you did at first. And what were those? Faith. You trusted. Or else, see, if not acts like going out and witnessing, they're doing a great job. They're not doing it in the power of the Spirit. That's the problem. Or else I am coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of the place unless you return. People, take a look at that. That's powerful. This isn't just a little reprimand. He's going to remove them. And they're working hard. They're big. They're doing a lot of stuff. No spirit, no power, no love. Look at Revelation 3. So what does he tell them to confess? He tells them to remember and go back to faith. All right, let's look at Revelation 3, verse 1, and to the angel of the church of Sardis write, he has the seven spirits of God, and the seven stars says this, this is Jesus Christ again, I know your deeds. And if you have name, and if you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. See, you think you're alive, you're doing so much, you're so active, you're so big, you're doing this, you're doing that, blah, blah, blah. Oh, you can't get any more busy. You're stressed out from how busy you are for the Lord. Says you're dead. Verse 2, wake up. Strengthen the things that remain. They've got a few things in there, strengthen, which were about to die. For I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. Now verse 3, take a look at it. Remember. It's the first step for them. Not confess, remember. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Only that is not what the Greek says. If you have the New American Standard that has marginal notes, your notes how is the correct translation of the Greek. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Keep doing that. And what is that? How did you get out of first? By faith. That is how. Okay, finally, point 8. This will close. There are other passages we could look at in this respect. Things like 1 John 2:2. He is our propitiation, but not only ours, but for the whole world. How did he become our propitiation? By faith. Then keep doing that. Go through the Scripture if you want to see it. Point 8. What are we to remember? This becomes a great issue in our Christian life. What are we to remember? What we're here to remember, people, is how you and I were saved. You take the bread, you take the cup, you remember how you and I were saved, how we're supposed to live. We were saved by faith. We're going to live by faith. That is the new covenant of the blood. That is how we are going to live our life. So we remember how we first did it, and that's by faith. That's how we're going to continue to live and deal with all the problems that you have each day of your life, just in the sense of trusting Him. I do want to make a word about not remembering. There are things that we are not to remember. We are not to remember the past sins. There are a lot of people who remember their past sins, they remember others' past sins, and they pull, they remember your past sins, pull you down, it pulls down others. You can't forgive or forget their sins or your own, so you're always that horrible person. No, you're not. No, you're not. We are not to remember those things. We are to remember who we are in Christ. Well, this is dealing with the remembrance, and we will start our communion now, but start taking the supper. I just want to deal with that one word, and then next time we'll go on now and finish up the passage. But remembering is at the heart of all of these things, to remember and not remember, and what we are to remember, what we are not to remember. And it's a shame the things that people remember. Let me take you to two passages in closing this section in dealing with how we deal with our flesh nature, how we deal with the past, how we shouldn't deal with it. Look with me at Numbers chapter 11. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Let me show you something very interesting. I know you remember things this way. He remembers things another way. She remembers things another way. Everybody, you remember this, remember that. Let's take a look. Find out how this thing can be so distorted and what we should remember. In Numbers chapter 11, verse 5, we have what the children of Israel remembered. Take a look now. What the children of Israel remembered. Numbers chapter 11, verse 5. We remember the fish which we used to eat freely in Egypt. People, that's a lie. But they were slaves. They worked harder than you could ever imagine. Look at this. We remember all that great fish which we used to eat freely in Egypt. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks and the onions and the garlic. Oh, boy, those are great days. Oh, we used to get up at 4:30 and start making bricks and working in slaves. Oh, we used to get beaten on our back with the whips. Oh, but when it came lunchtime, we got some fish and some garlic, and it was free. Are you kidding? But that's what they remember. It's always nice to have I'm leaving this bum. Let me tell you, it never was. I'm so amazed when I do counsel in regard to people. And I always love people. They drop by to see the preacher on the way to the divorce court. But anyway, I always like to say, we've never been happy. I mean, really, everyone, we've never been happy. And I like to say, you've never, ever? Oh, well. Oh, okay. We remember. Oh, I remember. Here, remember the fish, how wonderful slavery was. Please look with me at Deuteronomy 5. Deuteronomy 5, let me show you what they should remember. This is what they should remember. I think these two passages are so beautiful. Deuteronomy 5:15. And you shall remember that you were slaves in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand, and by an outstretched arm, the cross. Think of this, raise the outstretched arm. Think of the outstretched arms of the cross. And by an outstretched arm, therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. What do you remember? Oh, boy, it was so great being a slave. Oh, man, that was great. Got cucumbers and fish. Beaten. Worked 7 days a week. Oh, those were great days. Now, you're a slave. God came and delivered you freely. That's where you got something free, was from the grace of God. Okay, let's prepare ourselves for the communion. The gentlemen that are going to serve, please come to the front. Every church, every group had their own custom, their own way, their own traditions. Nobody's right. Nobody's wrong. Unless they just don't observe it at all. Some do it every time they meet. That's fine. I have no problem with that. Some do it once a week. Some observe communion once a week. Some do it once a month. That's some just different time frames. I think once a year is begging the point, but I can't say they're wrong. But here we do it once a month. There are no rules about it, except in the for the believer only and in the filling of the Spirit. But when I say rules, who can serve, what has to be served, all these kinds of things, there are no rules. A lot of people, a lot of denominations and churches have made a lot of rules. only the preacher can serve, only this can serve, and only this, and only that. It's not in the text. They read into it. Well, you see, Jesus gave it, and so that means that only those in that position can... And boy, that's a big jump. It's a big jump to try to build dogma on that. And takes away from the freedom of the church age. There are various times in history there will not be a preacher around. Oh, so we can't take communion? There are various times in history women will be in a women's prison with no male preacher around so they can ever take communion? Be careful with your dogmas. There just aren't any, there are very few related to the communion service. So it is our custom to go once a month. It is our custom that if you're a believer in Christ, please do not not take it because you're not a member here. I think everyone is, but there are people who say, oh, if you're not a member, you can't take it. That's not in the Bible. If that's our rule, you've got to be a member of this church. It's not in the Bible. It's a dogma. It's a tradition of man. So if you believe in Christ, please take it. It is our custom that everyone hold the bread until all have been served, and then we partake of it together, showing one, by the taking of it, communion with him, and two, by doing it together, communion in the assembly. So that's why we do it that way. Many different ways of thinking of this memorial. One way is to come back home, come back to who you are in Christ, and remember that. It's very simple. It's not complex. It's not difficult. Just trust me. And that's one thing that the communion is about, and the bread representing, I've done all the work. I died, became man. As man, I went to the cross. I removed the penalty of sin. I made everything so easy. Just trust me. And when he had given thanks, he broke at the bread and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. It is our custom that everyone hold a cup until everyone has been served, that we might take communion together. Jesus Christ came, walked with the disciples, and then departed, and with all those that had believed in him at his time, and departed. There's an uncertainty when he's gone. How are we going to walk? How are we going to know which way to go? We followed you. You went to Galilee, we followed you to Galilee. You went to Jerusalem, even though we didn't like the idea, we went to Jerusalem with you. Wherever you went, we knew where to go because we could just follow you by sight. How are we going to know how to live now? So Jesus Christ said, I'm not going to leave you abandoned. I'm going to give you a new covenant. New covenant on how to live. I'm going to send you my spirit so that you know how to live every day. And that's what the new covenant is. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. And do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Well, let's sing 111, hymn number 111. Hymn number 111, and we will, after we sing, we will close in prayer. Let's sing the first, second, and fourth, please. We better sing all four. Earlier we talked about the location we're looking at. People, it's yours. Let me hear from you. If you have, and if you're just going to say, if you move to Allen, I am not going to come. My ex-wife lives in Allen, and I will never drive through Allen. Well, let me know. Talk with me, and let us know, and so that we'll know where your soul is. And just remember, no location is going to please everybody. And I know that, and you know that. And so, but if there's just things going on in your soul about it, or you know somewhere else, or anything, just a comment. Please be sure you share it with the task force or with me. And don't just share it out there somewhere. Let me know. Let us know here. And that becomes very important. Please be in prayer about the Holy Spirit guiding us and where He would have us be. Be in prayer for Young Tennessee. Be in prayer for the man in Alabama. It's a difficult thing to think an adult had, where his father killed his mother, and now he's thinking of taking his own life, and it's just so unfortunate to me that a Christian has to be so heavy in their soul when Christ has provided everything to have that inner peace. So let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the spiritual food that we have partaken of. We pray that You will use it, Father, to nourish our spiritual life, bring to memory the things that You would have us to recall. And Father, thank You for the food that we're about to partake. Pray that You'll set it apart to the nourishment of our body. And Father, just pray You'll take our fellowship together, our conversations, our fun, as an assembly of believers that we'll enjoy in the next few moments, and set that apart to eternal glory, that we will have this to remember for all eternity. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.